Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I'm Tim Healy. I'm inviting you to come and join me each and every Wednesday so you can be prepared to win the battle for business. Yes, that's right. Now, listen, I know you're out there. You're closing deals. You're making money. You're turning prospects into profits. So I've got to make it worth your while. That's why I have on the kind of guest that you can listen, learn, and earn from. Today's guest is no exception. So we are, as we always do on the Profit Express, talking about how to win the battle for business. And from my perspective, you cannot win the battle for business if you do not know how to work a room. Now, here's the funny thing. There are so many of us, probably the overwhelming majority of humans, that when they hear that they have to enter into a room full of strangers at an event, a lot of them would rather go to the dentist and get a root canal. But that's not acceptable here on the Profit Express. I mean, some 20 years ago, I completely built my business on working the room. Now, I know in the beginning when I first started, I was not great at it, but I had to do it. I forced myself to do it. It was almost a part-time job for me because I was going to one event or another several times a week. Fortunately, I got pretty good at it. And it is in those events, and it was being able to work the room where I got some of my first clients and relationships and friendships that I have to this day. But when you hear the term working the room, and again, if it makes you feel uncomfortable, or if you're the kind of person that when you enter into that room, you feel more comfortable kind of blending into the woodwork and sitting on the sidelines, that's not good. And today's show is perfect for you because here's one thing I really want you to hear as we start the show today. You don't know where, when, and who your next best contact and connection is going to be. That next person that you meet at a particular event, again, we don't know when, where that will happen. That could be a life-changing connection, personally and professionally. So that's why I'm tackling the topic today. Now, here's the great part about today. I am super excited about today's guest. Because not only is she an author who wrote a book that sold over a million copies, and that's not easy to do, but she is the queen of connections. She is the maven of mingling and mixing, if you will. And her book, How to Work a Room, she is Susan Roam, and she is, from my perspective, the absolute go-to source on learning how to work a room. And so we're going to talk about that because, again, it's a critical skill in winning the battle for business that I want to help you with today. That's why we have Susan on. And not just that, but it's also the virtual room that we have to be able to win, especially everything that's happened since COVID. So listen, it is a great pleasure to have on the Profit Express, Susan Roam. Susan, how are you today?
Oh, I am fine. And as you said this, I can remember speaking in Southern California at USC at one of the first entrepreneur programs. And I remember saying, here's what I learned. You can't be a prophet or make a profit in your own land. I had to fly to LA to do it.
Well,
the reality is you can.
Yeah. Well, listen, well said and very true. And for those who are going to see the show on YouTube, I'm wearing my How to Work a Room jacket, my very famous blue and black satin jacket. So I'm wearing it in honor of you, Susan.
And I appreciate that because you embody what I say to people, which is wear something that gives somebody something to talk to you about.
Well, I can check that off the list right away. Excellent. Thank you.
You're good.
Now, all right, so there's so much to talk about, and again, your book, How to Work a Room, is a phenomenal resource. So this is how I'm envisioning it. So here's my first question for you. When a person enters into that room full of strangers, okay, again, somebody who's not comfortable doing it, what is one of the most important first things that they should be doing?
First of all, the most important thing you should be doing is before you enter a room full of strangers.
Okay.
The idea is you need to prepare. You're going into that room, and that could also apply to Zoom. You should know what's the theme, who's going to be there, what's the purpose. Right. That way you're prepared. So number one, know what that room is, why you're going. Number two, prepare. A lot of people don't read newspapers anymore. They go, I don't like any bad news. I go, well, that's why you're not a good conversationalist. You need to know what's going on.
Right.
Oh, I did. I had a senior VP at a big financial firm say to me after a talk that I gave, I'm way too busy to read the paper, but you know, I have trouble making conversation. I had to restrain myself from strangling him and saying, do you think there's a link there? Really? I don't care if you get it on, you know, on your Yahoo News or your Google News. And I used to say, because of Dick Tracy, I don't care if you read it on your watch, but now everyone's reading their news on their watch. So that line goes out the door.
Right.
So really have a sense of what's going on in your community, in your profession, in that organization, because you don't want to be the person that says, well, you know, I really don't follow anything. Now, on the other hand, if someone brings up something you don't know about, what you can do is say, you know, I'm not that familiar. Fill me in. And you give them a chance to talk. But before you go in to any room, prepare. And the other thing you have to prepare is your own self-introduction. Because you're not going to have Mr. Healy there to herald you into a room. Though it would be lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah, you were great. I mean, you know, an extra trumpet would have been nice, but that's okay. But you have to be prepared because you have to know what you're going to say about yourself. And if you hear the amount of enthusiasm in Tim's voice, I want to talk to that guy that's got energy in his voice. I really actually don't want to talk to the person that makes me want to snooze. So you bring your energy. When you say to people, hey, it's nice to meet you, I'm happy to meet you. Oh, my goodness. Look happy. So being prepared that way and having your own self-introduction is important.
Listen, we're only a couple of minutes into the show today, and you're already dropping some great wisdom here. I mean, certainly being prepared, having things to talk about, you know, knowing your intro. But then you said something that to me is a real pet peeve is, man, please be enthused when you introduce yourself. So many people just bring such low energy. Now, I know some people are nervous, they're uncomfortable, right? But, you know, it's you get back what you put out.
And it doesn't have to be like energy off the wall. But when you're connecting with someone and you say, hey, it's really great to meet you, look at face, smile. And by the way, if you're on Zoom, we can still see if you're smiling. And also, we can hear your attitude. And even in a mask community, your eyes will show whether you're interested, et cetera.
Now, early in the book, you talk about the five roadblocks. And it's important to recognize, obviously, you understand better than anybody. You know, people bring a lot of emotional baggage to, you know, interacting with strangers. They're nervous, they're shy, so on and so forth. You have these five roadblocks. I mean, they're all great as to how you expand upon them. There's a few of them I want to touch on. And it kind of goes back to what we were taught as kids, and we kind of bring it forward as adults. So one of the first ones you talk about, the roadblock, and I want to get your take on it, is how we were told don't talk to strangers and how that hurts us when we have to actually go out into a room full of strangers.
Well, that's, you know, can I say it the way it was said to me?
Sure, of course.
Don't talk to strangers. It was what everyone listening who had a parent who said that, obviously they loved you, and you say it to your children, or maybe only your favorites, but you really, it's a Thank you. It's a protective, don't talk to strangers. But that's bad advice. So that's the roadblock, but I want to give the remedy. Redefine the term stranger. When you are in a room at an event, where you are in a Zoom or here we are on Vimeo, and there are people around you, maybe we all look like a Brady Bunch, but these people aren't strangers because you're there for a reason, for a purpose. Right. Someone invited you. You have something in common with them. So redefine the term stranger. Because when you do that and you think of what do I have in common with those people, you have a leg up because you're not intimidated by people you don't know. If I go to a fundraiser for the Leukemia Society, everybody there has someone they know that made them aware. Everyone has a story. And I'm going to underscore this. Please know, whatever room or Zoom you are in, even the person that is so shy, they look like they have no energy and they look like they're fearful. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a story. And if you discover what their area of interest and story is, they become animated.
It's so true. You know, you bring up a great point. Because if you're uncomfortable, there's other people that are going to be uncomfortable, right? But let's look at the common denominator here. And I love how you frame this, Susan. You know, every human being has a story. And if you're curious enough to engage somebody and ask a good question, and then they start to open up, you know, then you're off to the races. That's, you know, just being curious and genuine and wanting to connect with somebody can make all the difference. That's a great point.
But now I am going to give a little caveat. And as much as everybody loves how to win friends and influence people, the advice to just ask a lot of questions and get people to talk about themselves, their favorite subject, is flawed.
Okay.
Don't do that. I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Conversation, and I did write What Do I Say Next, my third book, which is a conversation book, but conversation is a trifecta. Think of it as a triangle. It's OAR. And I always say to people, you will never be drowning if you bring your oar and paddle through any conversation. I love my own puns. But OAR stands for observe, A, ask, and R, reveal. So if you do that in combination, observing, asking, feeling, and then here's the magic. When you do ask a question, when you do tell a story, listen to what other people say. People tell you what they want to talk about, but we're so busy. Oh, what am I going to say next? What about my agenda? I have to sell something. If you don't hear what that person is saying and don't take that in and respond in kind, then we're missing the boat of building bonds.
Yeah, that's so true. And you know what? I find it, you know, to be a good conversationalist it's not easy. You know, it's a habit like anything else. And I like to say it's about being present in the moment. You know, you just can't be thinking of your own agenda. I'm here to make a sale. I'm here to, you know, collect business cards. I mean, that's dating myself, but it's really, you know, making that bond and making that connection, which is a great point. And it's tough because so many of us are, you know, disconnected. We're distracted, you know, in part again because of digital, because of social media. But these are great. These are powerful reminders. Now, I talked about your five roadblocks, and I said that there's a few of them I want to hit on.
Another one.
I like them all, but I'm trying to cherry pick some here. We've all heard of good things come to those who wait, and that can shoot you in the foot. What do you mean by that one?
Well, we always heard that. My line when I say that, I call that the prom king and queen. I will wait and who will come to me. Well, I said to people, if that were true, I'd still be sitting by the phone to wait for someone to call me for my senior prom. You know, But fortunately, my mother and Larry's mother got us together. But that's another, you may call it connecting. We used to call it matchmaking. But the truth is, you cannot afford in any room to wait for people to come over to you. The wait's interminably long. So, yes. And I was even quoted by Sir Richard Branson in one of his articles. I was number 6 on his list.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh my gosh, because that remedy was number 6. And I tell everyone, number 5 was Diana Ross. That makes me her backup singer on one of the screens. And what I said the remedy is that good things come to those who initiate. And he loved that because really, you pick up the phone, you send the first email, you send a LinkedIn message, you go over to a person. And I want to give all of our viewers and listeners this tip. Mm-hmm. Back in the days when we were always in rooms, and we will be there again, when you see someone standing alone, that person did not say, let me get dressed up, drive across town to stand by myself. They are shyer than you. If you see that person standing alone and you go over to them and just an off-the-cuff comment.
Right.
It could be about food. It could be about the traffic. It could be about the venue. It could be because they're wearing a woman, a beautiful scarf, or the man's wearing a rotary pin or whatever. You say something to the person standing alone. And I know, I'm going to say this in a business way and make fun of it. You will have leveraged your strategic blah, blah, blah. But right. I'm going to tell you another way to look at it. You go over in any room or even engage through the chat on Zoom with someone that seems to be quiet, not saying much. It is a kind thing to do. You will have paid attention to someone feeling ignored.
You know what? It is so funny that you tell that story the way you do, or you share that roadblock the way you do. So, all right. When I got your book, I'm reading through it. And again, How to Work a Room, Susan Rowan, today's guest, the queen of connections, the maven of mingling and mixing. I just like to say that. So as it just rolls off the tongue. So as I was reading through your book, and I'm preparing for our conversation today, Susan, I start to think back of all the networking events that I went to. Because when I started my business as a sales performance coach over 20 years ago, you know, I built it, as I said in the intro, I built it by working the room, by networking. And that's where I get my first connections, my first clients, my first friendships, relationships in the business world. And just as you're telling the story, I am reminded of an event, and I can visualize it right now, Susan, like it was yesterday. I went to an event, and you know how you do a little bit of the networking over coffee and juice before everybody sits down for the presenter. And as we're getting our seats, and they're those big typical catering hall, big round tables, there was one table with one gentleman sitting by himself. I go up to him and I said, kind of joking, he's all by himself. I said, hey, is this seat taken? Can I sit next to you? He's like, oh, of course, by all means. So here's why I share this story. He was an attorney. We end up connecting. He ends up hiring me. I work with him. And he has been the most meaningful and fruitful referral source in my business. And I will never forget that encounter. And I will remember to this day, I went up to him because he was by himself. I just wanted to share that with you, Susan.
No, I'm glad. I'm so glad you did, because I'm a former school teacher. If I got a dollar for every time I said, pay attention, I would not be rich. I would be wealthy.
Right, right.
But when we do something that pays attention to someone, it is so memorable. You made him feel welcomed. There is nothing that beats that in any room. And it could be a kind word, but you notice someone standing alone. Now, right. I know people that say, oh, there's an important person. I've got to meet them. But now I'm going to tell you the number one sales and marketing tool. I want everyone to write this down. And if you're just listening, repeat it in your head. You never know. And it's what you said. Mm-hmm. You never know. How in the world would you have known that guy sitting alone was going to be that? So I'm going to ask people, please don't judge people by what they're wearing.
Yes.
Don't judge people by the title you might see on a name tag, because every company has a different title. I've got stories on that. Say a few words to whomever you encounter. And here's another, people are going to laugh, but this is a great tip. When you go to an event that does have buffet food, you know, before the sit down event, if you want to make great contacts, start with the dessert table. I will tell you why. When someone is getting ready to put a mini bundt cake in their mouth, or a mini cheesecake or a chocolate chip cookie, those people are fun and they're approachable. Because for the vegetarians, don't be angry at me when I say this. I never met anyone that much fun at the cut up vegetable table. So go. I know, and people will say, I line up at the bar. Well, here's the other tip. In any room you want to make business at.
Right.
Really, so that you remember everything you said and did and what you said to whom.
Right.
Be sure to monitor. I know that the people, you know, Shenley and Canadian Club and the wine country, which I live near, aren't going to love that I said this. Be very careful. You don't want people to remember you for being the most inebriated person in the room. That's not the goal.
Yeah. I mean, We have to be careful. We've all been at events. I've been surprised at business events, how many, you know, cocktails people have tilted back. But so you have to be aware. Absolutely. But I never really thought of it like that, Susan. That's great, though. You know, the fun people are the ones who are going to go right for the chocolate chip cookie or the cannoli. I love it.
Yeah, cannoli. Now, that if you see someone with a cannoli, you don't have a conversation about Italian food and how much you like to go to Italy, you are totally missing the boat.
Now, so here's something. Yeah, today's guest, Susan Rowan, How to Work a Room, over a million copies sold. In my opinion, the go-to source on how to work a room. And again, let's not forget, it's the Profit Express. It's about winning the battle for business. And in my humble opinion, as a business owner, as the host of the show, you cannot win the battle for business if you're sitting on the sidelines, if you're blending into the woodwork. You have to know how to work a room. That's why Susan is here today. And who better to have on the topic, right? Now, here's something I found very interesting. I never really heard of it put this way. You make a distinction between host behavior and guest behavior. I love that. Talk to us about that.
Okay, first, I am going to quote where I learned it from. When I was writing this book, I was reading the original Success magazine.
Oh, and yeah.
Do you remember that back in the, oh my God, that was in the, I'm now calling it yesteryear. So in yesteryear, Dr. Adele Sheely, and Dr. Adele Sheely is one of the first people who actually founded the Career Center at Cal State Northridge. She was one of the first people that wrote on career issues. Dr. Sheely wrote Skills for Success, a mega hit. And she spoke here in San Francisco at one of the association dinners, and I brought my copy and I asked her for her autograph. And we've stayed in touch since. But one of the reasons is, you just heard me do something I am going to share with you. Part of the way you make a profit is have people see you as a profit is, I have always mentioned that I'm quoting her as the original source. Mm-hmm. Now you'd think 30,000 years later, I added in the thousand, You think 30,000 years later, I would just say it's my own. No, you give credit where credit is due. Dr. Adele Sheely wrote in an article that instead of going to an event and acting like a guest, feed me, bring me, tell me amusing stories, act like the host. Extend yourself. Welcome people. You do not have to be the person that threw the party, that organized the meeting, the conference, etc., to go over to people, welcome them, etc. So this is so easy. Every one of us were raised to be a host. We were, yes, take their coat, give them food, tell them amusing stories. But the number one thing that my speaking audiences have said over the last decades that makes a good host, they introduce you.
Yes.
Enthusiasm, with respect, and with awe, so that people they introduce you to want to talk to you and want to do business with you. How's that?
Perfect. It's a mic drop, Susan. That we you know, I mean, that's why when I read it in the book, I everybody understands that, you know, the guest and the host and the different roles, but to embrace that and bring that as part of your strategy to an event, I just loved it. I thought it was spot on. I thought it was great. I really did.
Yeah. And here, can I just give one more little tip? I'm
of
sorry.
Of course. No.
So the other thing is, besides always being the host, if you are going to any event, and this is in the BC days before COVID, I always said, and they will come back, sign up on the greeting committee.
Yes.
Because then it will be your job and you will get to meet everyone. And even if you're shy, which, by the way, according to the shyness statistics, that's at least 88 to 93% of us. But when it's your job, you will be a great greeter and you'll get to meet people, because you're not going to do a lousy job when you're being watched. So that's my tip. Sign up for the greeting committee.
No, that's another very clever one. I like that. Here was something in the book that caught my attention, and that book is How to Work a Room. Again, congratulations, by the way. Any book, as I have tons of authors on the show, even best-selling authors, but when you get that million plus, I mean, that's got to feel pretty fantastic. I mean, that really is. Congratulations.
It's good. It's you know what? Here's the other thing. People say, how's the book doing? I said, it's better than I. What do you mean? I go, does a book clean a toilet bowl? Clean toilet bowl. I love that, you know, I'm a former school teacher, so let me say it another way. I love that my book has sold a million plus. My other books were bestsellers. But the most important thing, I am a school teacher at heart. I want people to learn how to do this. If I had a wand, Tim, I would want to pass it over people to make sure everybody's comfortable in any room that they enter.
So we're talking about how to work a room. And there was a very interesting quote that you had in the book that I found very interesting. And it says this: if you can tell someone is working a room, they are doing it wrong. I like that. What do you mean? I mean, I think I know what you mean, but tell us.
We all know, everyone watching and listening and part of the Profit Express know, you can name people. You go, ay, 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 are they working the room again? And it's going to make us feel that, oh, this is kind of sleazy. Oh, and by the way, there is a chapter, Mr. or Ms. Sleaze Works a Room, How Not to Do It. But if you can tell someone's working a room, they are not being... No, I was going to say they're not being authentic, but maybe they are, and they are a sleaze. That's not true. But what they're not is warm, welcoming, personable, connecting, engaging, and more importantly, interested in you. So you can see when people say, well, you know, you have to have an agenda and you have to have goals. Trust me, if you have an agenda for every room you're in, It looks like it's printed on your forehead.
Right.
Go into everyone, but I am going to give everyone an assignment, whether you sign on to a WebEx or a Zoom or a Microsoft, whatever they have. Or enter every place with this one goal. And this is from Susan Rowan and my grandmother. Go everywhere to have fun. If you go to have fun and you exude interest and enthusiasm and energy, I promise you, the room will work you.
You know, it's I'm glad you said it that way, because listen, to be good at working a room is not easy, as you understand. And it takes time, it takes understanding, it takes empathy, curiosity, all of these things. And but you know, so many people approach it for the wrong reasons. Like you said, I'm here to make sales, you know, and just like people can sense that. But if you just take a deep breath and like, hey, I'm here to have fun, here to make connections, you know, meet some fun people, you know, you can't BS that. That's, if it's genuine, it's genuine. And I think that's a great way to bond. I mean, that's what I'm hearing.
But here's another thing. I would like you all, because there is a chapter called Trains and Boats and Planes. Somewhere I had a thought I was Dionne Warwick when I wrote the book. And if you don't know that Burt Bacharach song, look it up.
Oh, yeah.
I know you know, but some people go, well, that's an old frame of reference. And by the way, old frames of reference don't date you. They just show that you have a history and a valuable frames of reference. You can always look it up on Google. Don't just think of the room with walls, a roof, and a ceiling. Everywhere you go that there are people, it's potential. You don't know. I sat in an airport waiting for a delayed plane, and there was a police guy with a big old canine for 2 hours. And when they finally came out, they said, oh, there was a blah, blah, blah. And I sat next to a woman I did not know. And both of us rolled our eyes at the same time and out loud said, yeah, sure. And we looked at each other. That was 4 years ago. She lives in Florida. I live here. She has a son that lives not too far from me. We have been dearest friends for 4 years. You never know where that friend will be. It'll be on a plane, in an airplane. It'll be in a conference, in a mixer, in a fundraiser. If I could say that things to everyone, be cautious. I mean, don't be foolish. But on the other hand, be open. And the thing that you can give, I do this in the supermarket all the time. A little comment to someone that's a stranger, if you need to practice, say off the cuff comments, impromptu comments to people. You never know, and especially with seniors, that might be the only kind, interested comment that they got. You will make their day.
Yes.
And you might not even know you'll make their day, but it's really a gift, a kind word, a fun word is a gift. I remember being somewhere and I said to an older gentleman, by the way, I think I'm that person now, but I said to him, can you see where the blah, blah, blah is? And he goes, it's right in front of you. I said to him, oh my gosh, I could just hear my mother say, if it were a snake, it would have bit you. He said, your mother said that too? a whole conversation about that old thing. Say something, say anything, but practice everywhere you go, talking to people. I love when little kids see you. They run up and they wave. And I have parents that say, I'm sorry, my child bothered you. And I'll say to them, I'll tell you a book you won't have to buy for them. And then I tell them the name of my book.
Oh, I love that. That is classic. Now, listen, so as I said earlier in the show, and today's guest, Susan Rowan, who is, you know, the absolute queen of connections here. We're talking about her best-selling book, let me get a little cover shot here, How to Work a Room. As I am reading through your book, and I said earlier in our show that, you know, I built my business, you know, working the room. And I wasn't that good when I started, but I had to do it. I pushed myself and I was determined. So I got pretty good at it. But I have to say, one of the things I enjoyed most about your book, and there's so many great tips and strategies in here. I can't even count how many, right? And we've talked a lot about them today. But what I found so inspiring, so interesting, and I'm even jealous of, Susan, are the stories, and you've just shared some, of how you connected with people. And sometimes, in business, I do it, but like on planes, Starbucks, I'm not always the most friendly of guys. I got to admit, as a business owner, as the host of the show, sometimes I back away. And I'm just reading all of your stories, and the one that stuck in my mind of how you made these connections that last to this day was, it was the Passover plots. I just love that story. And I'm like, man, she is so fantastic at it. And it goes back to what I said in the very beginning. You never know where, when, and who that next great connection is going to be. And I just love the Passover plot story.
Right. And let me just explain what the plot, there was a book called The Passover Plot, but plots
in English, right,
means, oh, I fainted because it was such a big thing. So I have to do this, that I have to use all my own puns. So I am so glad you love that story. But I want to reiterate, I cannot imagine what my life would have been like had I not talked to people. Do you know that some of my best friends, Tim, that I am connected to are people who started as clients?
Yeah.
Now, I just talked the other day to a woman who interviewed me for an article because they want to go to an author source. But we so connected and I so adored her. This is like 5 years ago, that when I came to New York, I said, oh, how about let's meet and I'll invite you to this author dinner, et cetera. Well, she wrote a book that's on, and by the way, I'm going to promote her book, because she wrote a book about her life when both she and her husband were together. They were laid off and they have three boys. Oof. So it is, she called it, I love the title, Sad Sack. So I take walks every day. So I listen to it. And let me tell you, when you think about, you have a connection with someone, I don't let people go whom I find are good people that I want to stay in my life. So I know this sounds like a lot of work, but if you meet someone that you feel connected to, I am begging you, make the time. Mm-hmm. That if I had one super sauce secret of my life, stay in touch.
Yes.
Be the person that sends the note. 2 years ago, back in the old days, I was in Italy and I went on a tour of the Vatican, and the couple that went on the same tour were from Canada. Of course, we're still in touch 2 years later, and they've invited me to visit. But, and I can remember, and I went by myself, having lunch with this couple outside the Vatican, surrounded by all the priests from the Vatican that were having their lunch break. And I see that in my vision, that, and I go, if I hadn't been friendly and talked to that couple on that tour with me,
yes,
I would have missed all that.
Think don't about it. I mean, we could talk about the business and the relationships, sure, but then, you know, the friendships that develop. And I got to say, just as a sidebar, that, like I said, your stories throughout the book, I found so interesting, and I'm not nearly as good at it as you are. I wish I were. I'm going to get better though, because I've read through the book. It's a great book. I've had you on today. It is.
And I'll check and nag you.
I'm sorry. I missed you. What was that? Repeat that.
I'll check in and nag you.
No, but I would. That would be an honor. Are you kidding me? I'd appreciate that. This is, you know, personally, the show has been, and our chat and our conversation today has been a thrill. Let me say that. All right, one last question, I mean, I could ask you 1,000 more questions. So you enter these rooms. Have you ever given consideration to or thought about, you know, what song you want to enter into? Do you have an entrance song for Susan Rowan? I have to ask that.
Yeah, here she comes, Miss America.
I knew you'd have an answer to that. I love it.
You know, I don't know why I just saw that Burt Parks moment. you know, I, in terms of songs, there was a wonderful Hall and Oates one. And then there's, Bill Withers has a wonderful song about, you know, call me if you need me, I'll be, you know. And I think that's the essence of networking. And by the way, how to work a room is not networking. How to work a room is manage the mingling, the socializing we do in business. Savvy Networking, a totally different book I wrote. It's what do we do after that builds the relationships, the business, the connections. You have to have both skills, but they're separate. But I think that's one. You can call on me. I'll be there.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one. Right.
And I love
so listen, the book, How to Work a Room, today's guest, Susan Rowan. People want to learn more, follow you. How can they connect, Susan?
Well, the easiest way is you can go to my website, and it's SusanRoane.com. Mm-hmm. And you can also get to it by going to howtoworkaroom.com. But my email, Susan@SusanRoane.com. But if anything I said elicits a question that gives you heartburn, don't have heartburn. I'm going to tell you how we can solve this and get a solution. 415-461-3915. You know, if you have a question, call. That's the teacher part of me.
We don't want you to be in pain. I love it. Listen, Susan, thank you so much for sharing some of your time today on such an important topic. It was great to have you on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure and fun.
I'm glad you enjoyed. So this is the Profit Express. Remember to download all the new shows that come out on Wednesdays. Great shows like today's show with guest Susan Rowan and her book, How to Work a Room. Because listen, we're here to help you win the battle for business. And you cannot be winning the battle for business if you are on the sidelines, if you are in the woodwork. You have to get out there. You have to mix. You have to mingle. You have to make relationships. To me, Susan's book, How to Work a Room, is an absolute on your business bookshelf. Go out and get it. And until next week, you can follow me on the show on Instagram at The Profit Express, on Twitter at Profit_Express, and of course, Facebook at The Profit Express page. So until next week, right here on The Profit Express, continue to win the battle for business.